Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I'm extra happy today because I get to interview Tucker Yarborough, CFO and GM of Yarborough & Sons in Oklahoma. Tucker is one of my favorite people in our industry. He's funny, he's smart, he's honest, he's part of a great family, and he's just an all-around great guy, and he's really smart. I'm not the only person who thinks that. Tucker was named to our industry's 40 Under 40, and Yarborough & Sons was recently named Contractor of the Year by Service Nation. I had a fascinating interview with Tucker in 2023, episode 109. In that interview, we learned all about the history of Yarborough & Sons, how to make a family business thrive, and a lot more. So listen to episode 109 to get the interesting backstory on this great company. Tucker Yarborough, welcome back to Profiles in Prosperity.
David, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be back, and it's good to catch up with you. It's hard to believe that it's been 2 years already that it's been since we've talked last. It's going to be good to catch up with you.
So congratulations on being named Contractor of the Year. That's great.
Well, yeah, thank you. It's a team effort. This award, this kind of nomination and recognition that we're getting from the industry, really and truly, I mean, it belongs to our team. We're nothing without the men and women who work alongside us and who choose to spend their time making a career with us. And really and truly, we're pretty shocked to win it. Honestly, you know, we didn't even know that we were in the running. We just kind of got an email from Service Nation saying, hey, you might want to come to Boston. You've been nominated for an award. And going into it, didn't know what award that was. I was sitting in the award assembly waiting. And then Dolores from Service Nation, she came up and she said, hey, just so you know, you're going to be able to say a few words. And I was like, hold on, pause. What are we winning? what's the game here? And because to this point, no one had spoken. You know, I'd watched a lot of award winners walk by. And so I was like, okay, I guess
I'm there, accept the award and walk off.
Yeah, I guess I'm glad that I'm quick on my feet. So I got up there and, you know, was incredibly honored and, you know, had a lot of fun catching up with a bunch of contractors that we've met from the Service Nation from around the country. And it was a pretty cool experience.
Well, it's well-deserved. That's great. Yeah, it's embarrassing when you announce an award and people aren't there. So it's good to make sure they're going to be there first.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And especially for the Contractor of the Year. Yeah. So us and the Fixed Right and Guaranteed team, we were setting up front and center. They made sure of it.
So we interviewed you 2 years ago. I know it's a big question, but what has happened since then?
Oh, man. I feel like a ton, but nothing at the same time. So we're still growing. We've added a location up in Edmond, which is a town on the north side of the Oklahoma City metro area. So Blanchard is a little bedroom community southwest of Norman and Oklahoma City by about 10, 15 miles. We're kind of just surrounded by prairie land. So we're kind of out as much as the metro is growing. Blanchard's kind of out on its own a little bit. You're kind of isolated out here. And so we've been in Blanchard for 37 years. And last year, we kind of saw the vision forward of, okay, we need to get a location up and running up in Edmond and start really trying to make a push to grow more in the metro. And so we placed the location up there. And it really wasn't just a, you know, throw a dart and pick the spot. Really, what made us do that was we were looking at all of our zip codes. So me and my marketing director, we were kind of analyzing what zip codes we were performing well in. And we noticed in the North OKC market, we were trending up and our average ticket, our average interaction basically was worth more in these four zip codes than it was pretty much anywhere else. And so we knew, okay, this is a spot. If we're going to double down, this is a great spot to do so. So after we had ran a year of not having a location up there, but doing some focused marketing, doing direct mail, things like that, we decided, okay, now it's time. We've added about 30% to that area. You know, it's easy to add double digits whenever you're not doing a whole lot of revenue in that area, but we added 30% year over year in that area. And then, so we were up to about 300,000 or 400,000 in the four zip codes. And then really that's what made us decide, okay, we need to place a spot here and start really pouring gas on this thing, get us a Google presence going and start being a part of that community. And we've seen big returns on it. So I'd say that's probably a big one. We've got a new office in the works down here in Blanchard. We're going to build a 6,200 square foot office right next to our, wow. I can't remember if the last time we had talked, we had just built a warehouse, or we were just in the process of building it. I can't remember, but we've got a pretty new warehouse here in Blanchard, 15,000 square feet there. And then we're going to build our new office space starting hopefully this summer. We'll start breaking ground on it and getting it up and rolling. So we're excited to get some pieces moving. We're in a building that was built in the 1940s, and it's been everything from a chicken processing plant to a daycare center to a lumber yard and a heat and air shop. So it is not well laid out for synergistic workflows.
That's pretty funny. That is a great story about how you chose the Edmond location. The process that you went through is really great. Did some investigation, did some marketing to the area, saw it grow, and now you're up and running there. That's fantastic. Way to go. Yeah. Anything else that you want to talk about from over the last 2 years?
2 years ago, we'd just gotten our plumbing department kind of started. Now we've got a full-blown plumbing department rocking and rolling. We've got 5 plumbers on board and just tickled pink with how that's working out. We're not focused on, you know, new construction or not focused on a ton of large jobs. We're more so service and replacement plumbers. So, you know, fixing faucets, replacing toilets, replacing water heaters, you know, things like that. And really having a lot of success. You know, one thing that we're having to learn in real time though, because mom and dad, they started here in Blanchard in 88 with the heat and air side. Yarbrough and Sons, we've kind of been able to set the pricing floor for the area in the HVAC side for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And so there's not much price resistance in the market. Whereas on the plumbing side, because we just kind of started and now, you know, we have the overhead and the support staff of a large plumbing operation and the capabilities of one, but maybe not the market presence of one yet. We're seeing in the small bedroom communities around us in the Blanchard area, we're seeing a little bit more price resistance than what we were used to. So we're having to adopt a little bit more of a regional price mentality to serve our hometown a little bit better. And then we can charge our normal required rates up there in the metro up in Norman and Oklahoma City and Edmond. But that's been kind of a unique problem to solve, because for years, kind of what has guided us through our growth was I would always just pound the drum of, you know, the numbers may change, but the margins don't. Because regardless of what we're doing, if we're trying to make a certain margin, that's the floor. That's where we need to be at. Whereas seeing the price resistance that we were getting on some of the plumbing stuff really kind of highlighted to me, okay, we've got to be more adaptable in how we go to market on some of our products, because we've been spoiled because we've set the price floor here in Blanchard on HVAC. But when we take our HVAC services to Oklahoma City, we're middle of the pack or top third, somewhere in there. And so we, you know, we've been spoiled because we don't really meet much price resistance. Whereas on the plumbing side, I think there's fewer and further between more professional plumbing shops than there are HVAC. And so because there's fewer professional large scale plumbing shops, you're more sensitive to price in that area.
Yeah. You're competing against 1 and 2 man plumbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And their prices are, well, ridiculously low, actually.
Yeah. But. Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you about responding to reviews.
Yeah.
I really like the way you handle them. And I think what drew my attention to it was this one hilarious review. I'm going to read it here. It's from a guy named Nicholas. And he said, I can't even start this without laughing. Blocked the entire intersection, making me drive through a yard. Completely unprofessional. I mean, that alone is just pretty funny. This guy had to drive through a yard, apparently. I don't understand that. And is the completely unprofessional referring to him driving through a yard or something else?
I think the unprofessional part was us blocking the intersection. And I think context for that day, I believe we had a dig going with talking about plumbing. I think we had a dig going right there on the water access. And I think we had to block the intersection so that we could do the dig safely.
Right. Of course. Anyway, your response. Hi, Nicholas. Thanks for the drive-by review. We're sorry our van temporarily interrupted your scenic route. While we couldn't find any record of you using our services, we're flattered to be included in your impressive collection of one-star adventures, 44 out of 47 reviews you have ever left. If you ever decide to trade tire tracks for thermostats, we'd love a shot at earning that elusive second star. Drive safe out there, Tucker.
Oh, man.
That's so funny.
So I'm typically like, if we get a 1-star review, so context, Bryce, my marketing director, if we get a 4 or 5-star review, really 3 through 5, Bryce responds to all of them. If we get a 2 or a 1, it gets kicked to me and I respond to it. And, you know, if it's a 1-star that has credence, I'll look at the estimates. I'll write out kind of our side of it. Most of the time before I even write out a review, I'll reach out and try to see if we can't rectify the issue and, yeah. and have a conversation. But obviously a lot of times you're not able to do that. So one of my policies is on my 1-star reviews, I always put my full name, my cell phone number where they can reach me personally. I've gotten calls from it. We've made a sale from somebody calling to see if it was actually my cell phone number. And so I'm like, hey, if you want to talk more, here's my number. But that review response came after just a particularly, oh, great, what's next kind of day.
Yeah.
One more thing. And so finally, I just started dying laughing. I was like, all right, Bryce, I'm going to respond to this. I'm going to be snarky. And so I wrote it up and it got a good chuckle from everybody in the office. And I was like, all right, I'm just posting it here. And, you know, I took it and thought, well, I think this is funny enough to post on Facebook. And so I took a screenshot of it because I reported the review, because on Google, you can report a review for being off topic or never having used your business. Now, most of the time, you're never going to get that review removed. However, on the off chance that Google feels generous that day, they might remove it for you. So we obviously reported it, and I was worried about it getting taken down. So I took the screenshot of it, and it has since disappeared. Whether he deleted it or Google took it down, I don't know. But I posted it to Facebook, and it got a lot of traction. I posted it here in our little, we've got a Citizens of Blanchard page. I posted it all over the Oklahoma City metro area. I think our Yarbrough & Sons page shared it, and it got a lot of laughs and a lot of humor out of it. And so you never want to get a one-star review. But on something like that, man, I could have responded and just been pissed about it and attacked the guy and, you know, tried to justify our position. But instead, you know, I was like, okay, where's this guy coming from? So you can look on any Google review, you can see how many reviews people have left. And so you can click the number of reviews right there and scroll through and see how many reviews they've left and what kind of reviews they are. And so whenever I saw this cat had left 44 one-star reviews, it's like, okay, we've just got a chronic complainer here. So there's no sense in attacking this guy or trying to justify our position or let him know, hey, like, we had a permit to block this. It doesn't matter. So instead, I decided to respond with humor because it made me laugh. And so as opposed to getting mad, I just decided to make myself laugh.
You did a great job with it. I think it's hilarious. And actually, I think it ended up being good marketing for you guys.
I absolutely think so, too. I think it got a lot of good chuckles, that's for sure.
So with respect to reviews, you have a ton of reviews, like 1,100 and an amazing 4.9 stars average. So it's great. And I did read some of the ones where they were one stars, and sometimes it was a legitimate one, though very rarely. And the other times it was somebody misunderstanding or choosing to forget or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, the way you handle them is really great. I think it's a lesson for other contractors. So way to go on that.
For contractors out there, if you're not the most eloquent writer or anything like that, use ChatGPT and don't just copy and paste the review in there and say, respond to this. Give ChatGPT context. So paste the review in it. Say, I need a response to this review. And here's the context. And then write out or even speak out your side of it. And like what I do a lot of times, if I'm trying to calm down, like if I'm particularly heated over one or something, I'll upload all the things that we did or whatever it is. I'll upload all my documentation to ChatGPT and say, respond to this review with all of this context in mind. And then it'll write a response. And then I edit it a little bit. And it's, you know, much more eloquent than what I would say in the heat of the moment whenever I'm pissed about a one-star review or something. Take the time and use the tools around you that make us look better and smarter than maybe we actually are.
Good advice. I'm a user of ChatGPT too. Makes me look a lot better too.
Absolutely. I think that's the standard now. I think we're all cyborgs. We just don't know it yet.
Exactly. So tell me about your yard signs. I thought they were really, really clever. One cool house and coziest home on the block.
So probably a year and a half ago, we were sitting down, writing out kind of what our game plan was, you know, that we wanted to own the neighborhood. And obviously we can always go buy another billboard. And billboards are expensive. They're expensive everywhere in the country. And I think the expense is relative to where you're at. But regardless, it's expensive. And so we started kind of mapping out what's the fastest way that we can kind of locally go viral, that we can kind of like an amoeba, kind of just stick to a neighborhood and spread out in that neighborhood. And we thought, as much as you hate it, you know, love it or hate it, politicians use yard signs. And why do they use yard signs? Is it because they're, you know, they just want a yard sign in somebody's yard, or is it because they work?
Yeah, well, they work. Social proof.
It's because they work. It's social proof, right? So it shows that you're in the neighborhood. It shows that you're in the area. And so with ours, everybody and their dog has a different yard sign, and it's just their name, their logo, their phone number, and pretty much that's it. And we thought, well, that's not, you know, that's, if the yard sign is there, if it's new, sure, it's going to catch an eye. But what is something that we can do that would encourage a homeowner to leave their yard sign in for more than the 2 weeks that we're requesting? So I'll pick the story back up right there, but I'll give context on how our yard sign program works first. So on any repair that's over $500, we ask the homeowner, say, hey, if you'd allow us to put a yard sign in your yard, we'll give you $50 off of today's service call. All we ask is that you leave the yard sign in the yard for 2 weeks. And then after that, you can either throw it away or you can put it in your neighbor's yard. But either way, we don't want it back. So that's the phrase that all of our guys are trained to say. And let's be honest, most people leave their yard sign in longer than 2 weeks because they forget, they're busy. Sure. And so it stays out there. And so that's the, and then we spiff our technicians too. So our technicians will get $20 per yard sign that they put out on a service call of greater than $500. So I've just built a task inside of our price book that, you know, reports to me every time they use it, and they have to take a picture. In order to get that spiff, they have to take a picture that is social media worthy of that yard sign. So it has to be, you know, a selfie with the yard sign, the truck in the yard sign. If they get permission from the homeowner, the yard sign in a picturesque view of the house, something like that. So that's the yard sign spiff program. So once we ask that homeowner, hey, can we leave it in there? What's something that we could do to encourage them to even leave it in longer? And a logo is great, but let's be honest, nobody wants to sit there and look at a logo for super long. So we needed something. We wanted to come up with something that was eye catching and, you know, maybe made people chuckle, made people smile. Cause, you know, I think it was, you know, Maya Angelou said it was like, people will forget what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And so giving quippy little one-liners of like coziest home on the block or one cool house. We have some out there that just say, you are awesome. And putting something on the yard sign to make people look, take a second glance and see, you know, and our logo is just up there in the top left corner of it. So one side of the yard sign is just dedicated to a quippy one-liner. And then the other side has our logo and our phone number. But one side is the quippy little phrase. And so we wanted something that was eye-catching, encouraging, humorous, made people chuckle, and made people kind of, you know, have another reason to remember us.
Wow. That's very innovative and cool. Hey, when you guys put out the yard signs, do you have any policies about where you put it in the yard or anything like that, or which way it's facing?
So we want it parallel with the road, and it has to be on private property.
Got it.
Yep.
That's very interesting. Very innovative.
Not parallel with the road, but perpendicular. We want it making
perpendicular. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
A 90 with the road.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because we get calls from residents in some local cities. They're not fans of yard signs. They're calling us saying they'll threaten us and say they're going to turn us into the code officials or what have you. And, you know, everybody on our team, we tell them, hey, we're not putting yard signs in any public access. So that is that homeowner's property. If you would like that yard sign removed, go speak to that homeowner.
Interesting. Do you feel like you get much business off of the yard signs? Do you have any way of knowing that?
We have a tracking phone number on it, but I think to date, I think we maybe have 4 or 5 calls off of them, and we've put, gosh, maybe 10,000 yard signs out. But ultimately, that's not what we're doing it for. So we've gone through, we just talked about ChatGPT. We've gone through this like tech revolution in marketing and in the trades. And everybody has become so obsessed, and rightfully so to a certain point, but so obsessed with tracking the impact of every dollar being spent on marketing and what it's going to generate you, what the total cost of acquisition is, what the total ROI is, things like that. And for years now, I think we're going on 5, 6 years here at Yarbrough & Sons, we boil it back to a simple KPI for our marketing, and we call it ROMS, which is just return on marketing spend. So instead of looking at, you know, spend versus how much we spent marketing versus new customer spend, ROMS looks at, well, how much residential work did we do? How much marketing did we spend, and what's the ratio? And so we look at it as ROMS. And if we can have a ROMS of a return, basically a return on marketing spend of 10, 12, 14X, well, then we're walking in tall cotton. You know, so yeah. It's not a super scientific. It's probably not as data tracked as a lot of people would like. However, I think whenever you look at some of the biggest brands in the country, even outside of the HVAC and plumbing world, and this is a wildly large example, but it's like, you know, Coca-Cola objectively doesn't need to advertise, right? But they do. They can't tell you the actual impact dollar other than the brand equity that it builds. And unfortunately, I think the brand building, it takes more time than you want it to. It costs more money than you ever thought it could. However, if you stick with it long enough, it will be worth more than you ever thought it could be.
That's a great way to think about it. I agree with you. I think people do overtrack marketing. A lot of stuff you do, you try it, you don't know if it's going to work or not, and you won't know if it works or not, but it's still worth doing.
Well, yeah.
Just the way it is.
I think Gary Vaynerchuk has a bit on generosity, and that the most generous companies are the ones that will win. He has a line where he says, if you give with expectation, you're not generous, you're a manipulator. And you take that into marketing. If you look at all of our videos, we're posting 5 and 6 times a day, or sometimes, yeah, I'd say 3 to 6 times a day across all of our social channels. And it's videos that are pretty much just showing how the sausage is made, how a homeowner can avoid calling a heat and air company, how a homeowner can avoid calling a plumbing company, because we truly believe in leading with that generosity and that it will be paid back to us in perpetuity. And so if your whole goal with your marketing fund is to, and obviously, yes, you want a return. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't track it. However, if it's a dollar for dollar exchange where you need an algorithm that tells you exactly what to expect, I think that's a very nearsighted way to play the marketing game. And it's a very fast way to cheapen your brand.
Well said. I like it. So I want to turn our attention to the other big issue in heating and air conditioning, and that's hiring people. Yeah. You did a hiring event at your office. How did you do that, and how did it work out for you guys?
We did 3 hiring events. We did them the third Thursday of the month at 6:30 to 8, doors lock at 6:30. So the leadership team, the managers, and the ownership team, we went to dinner before the hiring event, talked about whatever we want to talk about, really wasn't focused on the hiring event, wasn't a business meeting. We were just there, feeding everybody dinner and hanging out for a bit. And then we hosted the hiring event. And so what we did was we started on social about 3 weeks prior. We were making videos. Our managers would make a selfie video basically just saying, hey, Yar Brunson's is hiring. Don't need any experience. Here's the positions. Here's the date and time. Bring your resume. Come hang out. And then, the next day, a different manager. The next day, I would do one. The next day, Will or Colby would do one. So we just kept posting, kept boosting, putting money behind those videos and really got it out there. That was the only means that we got it out there. The first hiring event that we did, I think we had close to 16 people show up. And we brought 6 or 8 of them in for an interview, and we hired 1 of them. We did the same thing for the next one, and we had probably 5 or 6 people show up. We didn't hire anybody out of that one. And then the third one, we had 3 people show up, and we didn't hire anybody out of that one. However, it gave us a great framework that during the shoulder season, so for us in Oklahoma, shoulder season is going to be October, November, December, January, February, March. So for 6 months, every third Thursday for that 6 months, we're going to be hosting hiring events and trying to find top talent and bringing them in and start building our bench. And what we do, the flow of that hiring event is we show up. And David, I know you're familiar with this because of your time spent running around with John and Vicky LaPlante. But the the change game, where you partner up and you got to change 2 or 3 things about your look. And then you got to identify the 2 or 3 things on the person you're partnered up with.
I don't know that game, actually.
No? Oh, no. Okay. So they did it at boot camp whenever we went. And I think they did it at Service World 1 year that I was there as well. So the change game is what I do is just to kind of break the ice is I make everybody get up, partner up. And I share a little bit about, that Yarbrough & Sons is a constantly changing business that we're trying to grow. We're trying to adopting and implementing as fast as we can. So part of that comes with changing and being comfortable with change. And so we're going to play a game to highlight change. And so what you do, so David, if me and you were partnered up, I say, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. For 12 seconds, we're going to sit here in silence. We're going to stare at each other head to toe. We're going to stare at each other. And obviously 12 seconds in silence, staring at a person you don't know, gets incredibly awkward. So
yes.
chuckles start coming out. That kind of gets people loosened up a little bit. I said, all right, now that you've got your person memorized, I said, I want you to turn around and I want you to change 2 things about your appearance. I said, the only rule about this game is you can't get naked. And so you'll take off a hat or you'll untie your shoe or you'll take off your belt or, whatever it is. So then I say, all right, well, now that you change your 2 things, turn around, identify. And, they obviously identify it. We do it 2 or 3 more times. Each time I ask them to change 2 or 3 more times. Well, because you're like, and I don't know the psychology behind it, but because you're under pressure, your mind isn't looking to add things to your appearance. You're taking things away from yourself. So you're stripping a shoe, you're stripping a sock, you're whatever it is. Whereas I didn't ever say that you couldn't grab a chair. I didn't ever say that you couldn't grab a notebook and put it on your head or something like that. So after we play the game and I tell everybody to sit down, I say, okay, get dressed, everybody, put your clothes back on, do what you were doing. So now sit down and let me talk. And so I start explaining when it comes to change, all of us think that it's a takeaway. Change is we're removing things from ourselves. I watched John, I watched you take your belt off, Philip, I watched you take your hat off and throw it across the room. Steven, you threw your shoe. Meanwhile, nobody grabbed a notebook or nobody grabbed a chair, nobody grabbed a can of Coke or whatever it is. And so we didn't look at change as an additive under pressure, but change can be an additive. And so at Yarbrough and Sons, yes, change sometimes means removing things, but change also means that we add as well. And, you know, I said the other thing about this game is obviously, rightfully so, you all went back to the way you were when you showed up after you played this game. However, at Yarbrough and Sons, we don't go back to the way we were before the change was implemented. So that's the expectation. And that's how I start the hiring event. And I share a little bit about who we are, how long we've been in business, what we've been up to, what positions we're hiring for. And then we make everybody there fill out basically a sheet that's, we make them draw their why. So draw a picture of their why. And I don't care if it's, you don't need to be an artist, but I want to see stick figures at minimum of drawing your why. So what's your why? Why do you get out of bed in the morning? What's your purpose? And, you know, that's a pretty good indicator of if somebody's driven, because if they're not going to be clearly defined or if they just write money on their why, I don't know if I can invest in that person. But if I see, you know, stick figures of a family or, you know, of mountains that's like, hey, I want to go travel or I want to do something, you know, because I'm interested in working with interesting people, and interesting people have goals and are driven by those goals. And so after that, we take everybody's resumes and I let them know, hey, within the next 2 days, I will text you and let you know if we're going to bring you in for an interview. And then myself and the management team, we sat there and we parse out who we thought was a good fit, who played along, who we think would be a good fit, who we should bring in. And then that's the stack. But I do make a promise to everybody in that room that, hey, because you came, I'm not going to ghost you. If I'm not bringing you in, I'm going to shoot you a text or give you a call and let you know, hey, we're not going to be able to hire you right now, but everyone will hear from me. And so we had pretty good success with it, and we're going to pick back up with them in October.
Wow. That's great. You really get to know people a little bit that way. I mean, with those little exercises and the talk, that's terrific. So you've had three, but you've hired two people out of it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you guys are a tough hire also. I mean, you guys don't just hire the first body that walks through the door. So
yeah, that's also true.
Yeah. You're a big reader. I like to read. What are three books you recommend?
Every contractor needs to go read Gary Vaynerchuk, Day Trading Attention. So Day Trading Attention is, if you're not familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk runs a marketing agency called VaynerMedia. VaynerMedia is a $450 million marketing agency. They've done stuff in our space, actually. They've worked hand in hand with Rhino Web Solutions. So Gary is a sharp guy. He's kind of known as the social media savant slash just predictor. He's been pretty much right on all of his predictions as to how social media would go, what the usage looks like, and how people can be successful using social media and getting attention. And so Day Trading Attention is kind of his thesis on how companies can garner as much underpriced attention as they possibly can. It's a good read, and it's almost like a workbook slash textbook. So it walks you through areas that you could double down on and start utilizing if you're not. So I say that's the first one. The second one is, it's a pairing, but it's $100 million leads and $100 million offers by Alex Hormozi. Alex Hormozi runs a firm called acquisition.com. They have a portfolio of businesses. I can't remember how many businesses, but it's doing over $250 million a year in top line. And before he started acquisition.com, he started a company called Gym Launch, and it went around the country, helping lifting, like powerlifting gyms and fitness gyms, get off the ground, get more clients, and scale super fast. So $100 million leads and $100 million offers is really, I think, a must read for your sales team and your management team, because it isolates and kind of boils down to like, okay, identify what your hook is, identify how you can go to market with it, identify what you can give away to get more leads, to get better and more qualified leads, and really kind of helps you parse down and boil your idea down to a more distilled version of what it is you need to go to market with. Because I think contractors are, you know, no different than any other business owner in this sense, that we have the ADHD syndrome. We're always chasing that next shiny thing rather than just continuing to double down on the thing that worked. And so the $100 million leads, $100 million offers is a good workbook to really kind of walk through that and figure out how you can better go to market with your offers. For my third book recommendation, I might have recommended this one 2 years ago, but it's Beyond Band of Brothers by Major Dick Winners. So Band of Brothers, they made an HBO series about it, but
yeah.
Band of Brothers follows the 101st Airborne through World War II in the European theater. They were the most decorated paratrooper regiment during World War II, and Dick Winters, he was the company commander through pretty much the entire campaign, and he wrote a book called Beyond Band of Brothers, and Beyond Band of Brothers is intertwined with different stories of what he told in his book, Band of Brothers, but then he expands on the leadership lessons that he learned and the actual implementation and impact that those leadership lessons have in real life. And Beyond Band of Brothers is probably, I mean, it's an annual read for me. It's a, it's one of those that I put on my yearly list because it's ultimately a good reminder of what we need to be as leaders, you know, because, and if you wouldn't mind, I'm actually going to read a quote from it. It's a
couple of great.
So Major Dick Winters, Easy Company, 506 PIR of the 101st Airborne. Never, ever give up, regardless of adversity. If you're a leader, a fellow who other fellows look to, you have to keep going. How will you know if you have succeeded? True satisfaction comes from getting the job done. The key to successful leadership is to earn respect, not because of rank or position, but because you are a leader of character. Properly led and treated right, your lowest ranking soldier is capable of extraordinary acts of valor. Ribbons, medals, and accolades then are a poor substitute to the ability to look yourself in the mirror every night and know that you did your best. So hang tough. So I think, you know,
that's really good.
He highlights the selfless leadership required, I think, in every industry, but I think the trades especially, you know, tradesmen and women are selfless helpers at their core. And so I think it requires a certain level of selfless leadership, and that really highlights who we are in this industry and a good reminder of what we need to be.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to introduce a book that had some kind of history angle to it, and that was sort of that way. I'm definitely going to read Band of Brothers and look at the others as well.
Yeah, perfect.
So last question. So really has nothing to do with work at all, but you and your lovely wife took a vacation to one of my favorite places in the world, New Zealand.
Yeah.
What did you think? And what was the best thing that you did there?
Well, we will be going back.
Excellent.
We didn't get to spend enough time. We were probably there 10 days. And so anytime we go somewhere, we rent a car and just drive. We just kind of go make a road trip out of it. So we flew into Auckland and pretty much stayed around Auckland because I think as an American, we get spoiled to our interstate system that you can drive anywhere. You know, obviously we're huge. You know, you can be in from Oklahoma City, you can be in Dallas in 3 hours. To drive that same distance in New Zealand would take about 6 or 8 because of how windy the roads are and, you know, that there's no real interstate system and things like that. And so we stayed on the north half of the North Island. And one day we went volcano hopping. So we went to all the different volcanoes around the area and did a couple hikes. We took my brother-in-law. It was his graduation trip. So my brother-in-law and I, we did a hike up. I think it was 3,000 meters is what we gained. So getting up there, seeing that view was absurd because we were right there on the Tasmanian coast. And so getting to look over the Tasmanian Sea. And then we went and we did a day of the island off the coast where the wineries are all at.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember it either.
It's basically New Zealand's Martha's Vineyard is essentially what it is. So we got over there and rented us a little car and drove around to all the different vineyards over there and had a big time. You know, that little island, I'm kicking myself for not remembering what it's called right now, but they produce, I think it's 80% of the world's Sauvignon Blanc right there on that island. They win Sauvignon Blanc Wine of the Year every year. And then on that island as well. And I think they said one of the reasons that they win it is because they next to every vineyard is a beehive, honey producers. It's basically vineyard and then a row of beehives and then vineyard and then a row of beehives. And so they're just crazy pollination happening. And I think it's a year round growing season pretty much. And so we had fun just bouncing around down there for a full day and seeing all that. We did a food tour, so many things to narrow it down to one thing, but we will be going back. That was a trip that kind of solidified that I'm with you. I think it's up there in my top two with Ireland and now New Zealand.
Yeah. New Zealand's just amazing. We've been twice and we will certainly go back. Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned beekeeping there. We did a beekeeping tour when we were there. I guess it's not really a tour, but basically we went to a guy that has honeybees and creates honey, and he told us all about beekeeping. So it was totally fascinating to me. I didn't know anything about beekeeping, and it's in New Zealand, so what's not to love about it? Well, Tucker, this has been fantastic. As usual, you are totally fascinating to talk to. You run a great business and you do so many unique things. So thanks for spending this time with me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, David.
Hi, this is David again. 3 quick notes. 1, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people.
Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.